Run! Go! Get to the jibber jabber!
Hey Valerie! It's on Apple Podcasts and Podomatic! Freaking awesome!
Welcome to another fine episode of the Jibber Jabber Podcast. Today we discuss a number of happenings going on around the world. Few announcements, but we'll get to them. So, today I'm joined, as always, by the man himself, G-Mac. How you doing, son?
Hello, I'm fantabulous. How are yourself? How are yourself? Jesus Christ, how is yourself?
Are you me? Are you me? That's a me thing.
Me too! Hashtag.
Oh! Speaking of me too, we can kind of get to the controversial stuff later. Did I say that correct? Controversial? Controversial?
Controversial, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have a few announcements to kind of go through. Before we do that, I'd just like to thank the nice wee girl. Oh, man. What was her name? And she reached out to us. We're always telling you guys to reach out to us on social media. Let us know what you think of the show and whatnot. And this nice lady got in contact with us, and she'd found our Still Game episode from... Was that how long ago was that, J-Mac?
Well, gee, it was when the last episode aired, so it must be... 9 months ago? 6 months ago?
That long? Yeah, well, when we aired that episode, what, a week, or even within the week that last episode aired, and Jordan was crying his face off, and we got a really nice message from a girl called Erin Maguire, and she said, found your podcast after finally watching the last episode of Still Game. Was actually glad to hear you guys crying as well, because I was in bits. Thanks for keeping the unedited audio in. Made me feel less alone. Now, just before I comment on that, it was only you that was crying.
It's coming back.
that was really nice of you, Erin, if you're listening, to get in contact with us. We're really happy that our listeners reach out and tell us how they feel about our show. So it was nice. And, you know, that's one of those messages where I can look at that and go, oh, we done something for a fellow fan of Still Game. And I like that, because that was the whole point in that episode, was to kind of talk about how we felt about the end of the show. And the end of a show isn't just the end of a show. You know, you grow to love these characters, and these characters will remain household names for how long. So it was nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. It's always nice to get a wee bit of kind of feedback from the people that are listening. And yeah, I was doing enough crying for the both of us. That's maybe why she thought we were both... crying. I couldn't even speak, man.
That's true. That was a one-man show that night.
As I said to you as well, it was like, oh, mate, edit it a bit so that it doesn't sound like I'm just crying and can't talk. And you just left it all in.
I was like, yeah, I'll
just
do
me,
that now.
Just me going, keep a minute.
Oh, man. We did get another bit of feedback recently. Apparently, our voices are sexy. Our Scottish voices.
Oh, don't even go there.
Yeah, apparently, you guys in the US like our sexy Scottish voices. Well, you hit that download, you hit subscribe, you share, and we'll keep doing the sexy talking for y'all.
Should maybe start doing ASMR videos for them.
Go. Let's hear what that would sound like.
I'm just going to make myself some coffee. I hate that shit.
Coffee, J-Mac, you don't like coffee. Do you want a fucking 7-Up?
I actually do like coffee, but it makes me pee.
What doesn't make you pee? You pee when you don't drink.
I could keep a party of 10 people alive in the desert, like.
Why? Because you pee that much, or like...
Yeah, just because whenever anybody gets thirsty, it's just like, right. The reason I pee a lot when we're doing the podcast, this is a little insight for everybody, this is cool. I pee a lot when we're doing the podcast because normally I tend to be having a beverage of alcoholic nature, which I'm not doing tonight because I'm going to the gym tomorrow. I'm starting the gym like every other fucker.
happy January. Let's see, right? If you're not having an alcoholic beverage, results in me doing less editing, right? I'm gonna track this, and then I'm gonna give you the feedback. All right,
that's fine. It'll give me another wee incentive to cut back a little bit.
No. You don't drink a lot. Are you crazy?
I don't drink. I drink a lot, but not often. Or is it often and not a lot?
No, to be fair, when we're having a drink, you like to have a drink, and you're just someone that can do that. Me, I'm what you call a bitch drinker, and you know this.
Okay, have you stolen your first pint, man? I've had three.
That is the dynamic.
So you stole your first one. I've been for another carryout.
I digress. So announcements. We have a few announcements. As you'll have already seen on our social media, the Jibber Jabber podcast will host its fifth cinema takeover. And J-Mac, tell these fine listeners why this one's just a bit extra special.
Well, the first thing that's making it special is the film. Based on the feedback we've been getting, speaking to people at these takeovers, is everybody keeps asking for the Lost Boys.
Always have.
And we finally fucking got it.
Yes.
We got the Lost Boys. But on top of that, we have the one and only G. Tom Mack coming to do a live show after the screening, which is awesome. He did the song Cry Little Sister that's in the film. You all know it. You all love it. Get yourselves along.
Absolutely. So you guys can go ahead and book tickets by going into the cinema. That's if you live close to where we are, which is Bathgate, Scotland. So go to Bathgate Cinema and head in there and get yourself some tickets. Or you could call the Bathgate Cinema hotline on 07-519-995827. That's 07-519-995827. Phone up and order your own tickets for the very limited spaces that are left at the Lost Boys screening on the 27th of February. And the ticket price is £14. Remember, you're not only watching a classic on the big screen that you never got to see on the big screen, but the man himself. 50% of the reason that that movie was so popular is because of the music. And you've got G. Tom Mack to thank for that. So make sure you get yourself along and buy a bloody ticket.
I have on good authority that the tickets are now 30% gone. Now, that, by the way, is actually really good considering it's still nearly 2 months away. So what I would say is that if you want to go, you better fucking hurry up and get your tickets.
Exactly. And people haven't even been paid yet. That's people buying those tickets that are skint from Christmas. That's like, I'm using the kids' Christmas money to buy these tickets and I'll give it back when I get paid. That's those guys. Hats off to you guys. Well done. So this is guaranteed to be a sellout. And maybe if you come along to the show, you might see a few extra little surprises. I said maybe. And who knows what those kind of surprises could be. But regardless, come along. Not only, but will we be in the presence of G. Tom Mack. You'll get to see his performance of Cry Little Sister live after the show. You'll get to talk to him about meet and greet, Q&A. Not only that, he will be playing songs from the Lost Boys story, a musical, which is the West End musical of the Lost Boys, which hasn't even, it's not out yet. You can't go see it yet. And you will be able to, like, at the end of next year, along with a TV series. J. Tom Mack's heavily involved in that, so come along, be a part of history in Scotland. We say it's also history because we have another announcement, J. Mack. I'll tell them, yeah? So...
All right, batter in, mate.
So, I was like, I'll let you tell them, J-Mac. I was like, you just told them about the Lost Boys. I was like, that's great, I'll go for it. So we are actually filming and writing and directing the documentary of J. Tom Mack. So his life story, his legacy, his personality, his roller coaster ride of a life and career. We have the privilege of making this documentary with him. So, you know, daily we contact Gerard every single day. We're talking back and forth, coming up with ideas. We're on the phone all the time, constantly. So he's a good friend at the Jibber Jabber podcast. So if you come to this Lost Boys screening, we will be filming. And you guys can be a part of his history in that documentary. How are you feeling about that, G. Tom Mack? It's called G. Tom Mack. It's because I keep calling you J. Mack. Like, why did you make up a name called J. Mack? It's not even your name. It's not even your name.
Did you think? Did I think at any point we were going to be in cahoots with a guy called G. Tom Mack? No, I didn't think that my name being J. Mack was going to be an issue. But it's catching on. I've gained new friends since moving into this house, and they all call me J-Mac. They don't call me Jay. They don't J-Mac. Call me Jay or Jordan. It's like, all right, J-Mac.
J-Mac himself.
So what am I thinking about it? I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of work, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to be an experience that could take us places that we never ever thought we'd be going. Never even mind just with the podcast, just in general. Mm-hmm. It's really looking forward to it. The guy's had an interesting time.
Absolutely. He's got a lot of really high profile friends as well that are going to get involved in this operation, so it's going to be very interesting to see what they, you know, what light they shine on his life. So it'll be great. Hey, J-Mac, just before we move on, have you noticed since we've met, you've changed your name and your image? For anybody that knows Jordan McCaig, right? When we first met, he was like bald as hell and had like a pencil thin beard. And his name was Jordan. It was actually Jandor McHaghy. And then he just decided to let his hair grow in and rename himself J-Mac. Now he's an all-round celebrity.
That's why I changed it, mate. I knew I was going to be famous as fuck one day.
By now, mate, I mean, you've got like fucking 57 followers or some shit. You are fucking pimping.
I'm absolutely balling. I'm smashing it.
Mate, just for anybody listening, like, look in the description of this episode. You can see J-Mac's Twitter handle. He has like no followers, no tweets, no none. Yeah, I still promote his Twitter.
Do you promote my Twitter?
I always promote your Twitter, mate. And yet,
I have no idea.
Do you even know how to log into your Twitter?
No.
So I'm going to stop promoting your Twitter, mate. Like, that's there for you to engage with your audience. And yet, here you are. I bet you've had DMs, had plenty of DMs, and nothing.
No, I do actually. I have it on my phone. Like, I could open the app right now and I'm logged in. But because I don't have any followers and I don't use it, I have nothing on it. Well, it's just taking up memory.
It's like, yeah, well, maybe I'd go on it if I had followers. And it's like you're trying to blackmail them. I'm using it unless you follow me.
No, don't follow me because I'm still not going to use it. I get pissed off enough with Facebook. So
make sure you go ahead and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, everywhere, because there are potential sponsorships looking at us right now, and we could do with the upskilling of our numbers. So please go and do it now before they see. Speaking of sponsorships, before we get to our conversations about Derek Acora,
well done, Acora, well done,
Derek Acora. Before we get to that conversation of him passing, sadly, also we're going to be speaking about the Ricky Gervais 2020 Golden Globes fiasco, which I can't wait to chat away with J-Mac about. Before we get to all that and much, much more, please, please take a moment to hear this ad from our sponsors.
Oh my God.
Say, what's up, son?
All I wanted was a never-ending story t-shirt, but Santa didn't bring me one.
Well, Santa Claus didn't go to truffleshuffle.com last year and use JibJab15 when he spent over £20 or more on truffleshuffle.com like you should.
That's right, 15% off when you use JibJab15. Exclusive code to the Jibber Jabber podcast. Go now. They have trinkets, t-shirts, mugs, and so much more. Everything you could want, from 80s retro threads to Game Boy console watches. JibJab15 at truffleshuffle.com. Go now!
Yay, Truffle Shuffle.
That's right, so make sure you go ahead and go to truffleshuffle.com and support those guys who support us. Fantastic guys over there sent us Lost Boys t-shirts. J-Mac, how cool were those Lost Boys t-shirts?
Oh, I'm loving mine, man. It's, I don't even love just the way it looks. It's just really comfortable and the quality's there. It's one thing I do quite often is I'll go to Primark or Primark, whatever you want to call it. I call it Primark because that's what my wife calls it, and I'd never heard of it until I met her. So that's how we go. And sometimes they've got actually really cool t-shirts in. Like, they'll have, like, I've got a Purple Rain t-shirt. That was the same one that Mouth wore in The Goonies, the exact same t-shirt. And I got it for like £8. I was like, superb. Two washes later, it's fucked.
Mate, you've had that t-shirt some time. Have you only washed it twice? Maybe that's why it's fucked.
Oh no, I've worn it since then, but now every time I need to wear it, I have to stand in it and like put my feet in the sleeves and yank it so it stretches all the right directions. You take it and it's just, it's squinting every direction, man. The shoulders don't sit right, the bottom of it's also starting to kind of roll up, which is weird.
Well, mate, one thing is for sure, and that's if you go to Travel Shuffle and use our discount code JibJab15, you won't have to have that issue that J-Mac just described there of having to stand on your t-shirt and pull it to make it look like a t-shirt. These guys use high quality. Not only that, they're supportive. The business is run by passionate people that care about the things that we care about, that love the same things as we love. So make sure you support them. When you buy from businesses like Truffle Shuffle, you're not paying for someone else to have another yacht. That's dance lessons for someone's child.
Like it. I remember seeing that on a billboard.
Yeah, so that I couldn't remember all of it, but it's something like that. It goes something like that. Just support the little guy. And I wouldn't say exactly they were little. They're not little, but support them, right?
Yeah, it's a technically what you could call a small business, but they are very much growing.
Oh, massive, massive. So support them because they support us and we are very much, and we appreciate them. They're very good guys. So, moving on to topic of discussion right now. One of our topics today, and it's been a while before we've actually discussed some of the movies and TV shows that we've been watching. I know some of you guys have been missing that. So we will get to that to kind of break up the somber and the downright crazy. But J-Mac, Derek Acquara.
Yes.
Derek Acquara has passed.
Yeah, the one and only Derek Acquara. Now, Derek Acquara, for those of you who don't know, was a spiritualist medium who was actually pretty bloody famous not too long ago. Fell off the radar a bit recently, but he was on Most Haunted. He had his own kind of Psychic Sally style show where he was just on stage and talking to people in the audience and talking to dead folk that came with him and stuff like that. But I have to say the best one was where somebody's dog... I think we discussed this before, but he's like, I've got a dog here. He's saying, woof, woof.
He's saying, woof.
anyway, yeah, he's sadly passed away after a short illness. Now, personally, I don't believe in psychics at all. I really don't. I did at one point, but then... Yeah, I just stopped. It seems silly to me, but Kevin has said to me a few times about going to this specific place. We will discuss it again. Yeah. But yeah, personally for me, I think the guy was, he was good at what he did. He made money by pretending to talk to dead people. Now, a lot of people do it. It does give people comfort. So I think it does have its place, but just... not quite for me. I know that a guy who I've met a few times doing paranormal investigations, Phil Wyman, he also used to be on Most Haunted. He was quite close with him. So I know he's not taking it very well. So my best goes out to him and his family.
For those of you guys that are listening and haven't checked out our previous episodes, J-Mac was actually on Most Haunted. And have a look. Yep, go back and have a look. It's J-Mac talks about his time on Most Haunted. And check that episode out where he tells you all about his time on Most Haunted. But was Derek Acquara on Most Haunted at the time when you were on it?
No. At the time I was on it, I think they had replaced him with a guy called... Oh, God, what was his name? Chris Conway, I think was his name. He's a Scottish guy. Mm. So I never actually met Derek. But he was a mainstay of the show for... a good number of years. So if you're wondering why I'm clicking, it's because this thing has just popped up on my screen and it's covered you up, Kevin. I can't see you. And it says, we respect your privacy. Clearly you fucking don't.
Yeah, we Skype each other because we live quite far away from each other. So we Skype each other when we do this weekly episodic show.
It's weekly episodic show. Episode!
It's very episodic. It's still episodic. So, Derek, Sorry?
I was just going to say, Big D, I'm sure wherever you are, you're probably going, fucking hell, that was real. it's never nice when somebody you kind of did respect at some point kind of goes. But maybe he can come back. He can come back and start haunting us and go and see fucking Telties.
Well, he could get his spot back on Most Haunted, just no.
Aye, just no on camera. jokes at poor guy's expense.
Hey, mate, see if I ever die. See when I die. If it's before you, right? And then you're doing the Jib cast every week, right?
So use the discount code JIB7.5.
if and when that happens, man, you use my death and you joke and you create laughter and happiness out of something that's maybe conceived as sad.
maybe.
Well, it depends. Like, how did he die? You know, he choked on a marble. Like, you got to make some jokes about that. You got to.
I know.
So, you know?
Do you know? The one that gets me is, tragedy as... a father of six was killed lighting a firework. It's like, well, that's what you get for fucking with fireworks. Just... they put on loads of free displays everywhere for everybody. Nobody needs to have fireworks in the garden. And I'll tell you why. Because they're shit. I mean, how exciting is it to watch your fucking dad run over and go... It's like, great. I'm glad I drove 35 miles for this.
Oh man.
So yeah, don't feel sorry for those guys. Are the ones that like they stick them up their arse.
Oh, so, yeah.
Oh man, man received severe rectal burns. No shit.
Yeah, that's. Do you think they should ban fireworks for the public?
Honestly, a year ago, no. Now, yeah.
Yeah, just there's with the amount of idiots.
There's literally no need for them, and I'd like to know that what changes. From the time that you're 17 years old and 364 days, that's not mature enough to have a firework. But one day later, yeah, it's fine. You can have fireworks, and you've changed overnight. Fuck off, man. Fireworks annoy me now. I'm getting old. I'm just getting old, man. things that never annoyed me before have started to annoy me. Especially like packets of meat that say "peel here." And they never fucking peel. It's a peel here, and that bit peels off. You're like, ah, right. So the peel here tabs off. Tabs off. No, just need to stab it with a knife to open the rest of it. That kind of stuff really, really grinds my gears.
Really grinds my gears. God. We should do an episode called What Annoys J-Mac. I mean, that's like a 3-hour long special, right?
I think we could probably get a fucking Netflix miniseries with it, to be honest.
Well, yeah, we should maybe try that. That'd be quicker kick ass. Speaking of Netflix, it's the return of What You Been Watching. I'll kick this one off. The first one I watched actually is on Netflix, and I can't believe it came out in 2017, because I remember watching a trailer for it going, oh, that'd be good to watch. And then I was like, oh, it's not out yet. That wasn't that long ago. 3 years ago. I just did not feel like 3 years ago. The movie I'm referring to is called Downsizing, with Kirsten Wiggs in it for a bit, and it's Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
What did you think?
I enjoyed it, but it was weird.
Yeah, it was like, very much weird. I thought something different was going to happen to what actually happened.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it up until the part where he ends up in the slums. And it's just like, it starts just getting a bit kind of dark and dreary, and then he pumps a lassie with one leg, and it's just...
He does it, peg leg. I love the way he speaks. I'm sure she's not even Vietnamese. Just the way it's like she's... Have you ever seen like a Vietnamese Chinese lassie putting on a Vietnamese Chinese accent? It's like... what's that?
I love listening to you trying to say Vietnamese.
Vietnamese.
Oh. That's it.
What did I say?
You've been saying Vietnamese.
Oh, I think that's maybe your signal, mate. I said Vietnamese. Oh, I did. Yeah.
You dick.
You see the way you say that? She's like, this, and this is not racist. It's a direct impression of a character playing a fucking character, right? So she's like,
you come with me, you help her.
It's like a cartoon, isn't it?
Like, it's like she totally doesn't speak like that in real life. And my wife even turned to me and was like, she doesn't speak like that in real life. And I was like, right, right. It's just like, she's so funny. She's like,
how you fuck me?
What?
That ain't kind of fuck. How you fuck me?
It's like, this is just a caricature of who you actually are.
Like I said, I actually did quite enjoy most of it. The idea was really clever, actually. It's like, could you imagine how much better the world would be if you could just shrink people down to being a couple of inches tall?
Like, one thing that for me was missing, right, is they're like, yeah, we're all shrunk now. Motherfucker, bugs and dogs and cats would have fucked you up by now. And that never seemed to be a problem. Like, there wasn't like, oh, you didn't want to do this because that guy. It just never seemed to be an issue.
Were they no pretty much living in a bubble, though?
Yeah, like, but come on, some of them came out in a wee box. You're telling me somebody wasn't, and not only that, like the bigger people must have at some point been like, oh, right, that human's gone up my arse just to see what it feels like, right? Stuff like that, you know, the dark underworld.
Man,
right?
We've got a film here about a possible way of fixing the earth if we had the technology, and you're like, I'd definitely shove one of these wee people up my rectum.
not me.
You thought of it.
I thought somebody's done it. I mean, first thing you, right, so let's paint a scenario. You walk into a room, right, and there's two people standing on your coffee table, and they're no bigger than the size of a fucking salt shaker, right? You've definitely been like, right, I'm taking advantage of this situation. Don't tell me you're not.
No, I'm saying nothing. Actually, you reminded me of something that made me chuckle. I watched an episode of South Park the other day. It was quite an old episode. And do you remember Mr. Slave?
No, I didn't really watch South Park.
He basically dressed like one of the village people. Like, he was a leather cap and all that. His name was Mr. Slave. And he gets a gerbil shoved up his arse, right? And most of the episode is just this gerbil's adventure. I've been trying to get back out again. And he's like walking by other gerbil skeletons.
Oh, man.
Oh, that was class.
God damn. Downsizing was quite a good...
Downsizing.
I liked it. I just thought, see, for the concept, the way it kind of went was like, Christoph Waltz was in it. Big shout out to him. I thought, oh, yeah, Christoph Waltz. You can't really... I don't think I've ever seen something with Christoph Waltz in it where I've been like, this is shit. But you know, is it Kristen Wiig, right?
Kristen.
What a cow of a wife she was, right?
I know what a pain there.
I totally felt his pain, right? Spoiler alert for anybody that's not seen it, right? So Matt Damon goes through the process of becoming small, only to give his wife a better life, who wants the big house. And when you go small, you pretty much become an instant millionaire. So he then goes small with her. They have to get separated. Guys go this way, girls go that way. You meet on the other side when you're small. Anyways, so he gets all his hair shaved off, gets a big fucking silly, stupid-looking thing shoved up his arse for the irrigation. Then he gets to the other end. So he's bald as fuck, looks like he's had, 3 years worth of chemo. Sits up, and he's like, oh, I feel like shit. Where's my wife? And they're like, she might just be on her way soon. Then he gets a phone call. She's like, half bald with a missing eyebrow. Yeah, I couldn't go through it. This isn't really what I want. I thought I was doing it for you. So, yeah, bye. And he's like, oh, well, I'm fucking 5 inches tall now because I've done this. Oh, well, I guess I'll go to my mansion. A year later, well, she's big and he's not, so this doesn't work. She divorces him, takes all his money, so he's now 5 inches tall and in the slums of the fucking tiny people place.
Imagine being 5 inches tall and fucking skint.
And you're not even skint in like the real world, you're skint in like miniature follower size, man.
You're skint in a place where you can live off like $3 a week. That's including your mortgage, car payment, insurances.
Only a woman would fucking do that to you. Hey, bastard, man. You didn't see her in it at all. And I thought it was quite strange. I even said to my wife, I was like, she'll show up later on. Why would they get Kristen Wiig to play such a small part? with her being such a big name. Doesn't make sense sometimes, right?
Mm. It's, it happens quite a lot. Probably more than we care to think.
Yeah.
One person does that a lot these days is Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Like just direct to DVD stuff with nobody you've heard of except him, and they kill him off 5 minutes in. It's just using the face like to set films.
That's like Exit Wounds. It's Steven Seagal on the front cover, right? Kurt Russell's in it too. But Steven Seagal...
Executive decision.
That's it. Sorry. Why did I say Exit Wounds? Executive decisions. He dies on the plane at the start, yet he's all over the DVD cover.
So that was a different thing. It was supposed to be the hero in it, or like one of the heroes, but he was being a dick, so they killed him off. He was being a dick. He was being Steven Seagal, and like he's just a fucking prima donna. So, yes, I think he started asking for more money after they started filming, and like, nah, fuck you, eject.
Well, they had Kurt Russell, so they were in good hands.
I love Kurt Russell, man.
Kurt Russell's the man, but it's even in a box set, like a Steven Seagal box set. I'm like, what? Why is that there? He's in it for like 5 minutes.
That kind of stuff's frustrating.
So what you been watching?
I've been watching a few things. I've been revisiting South Park quite a lot. It's actually, even like watching it now, it just gets funnier and funnier, man. It's genius. I'm not going to sit and talk about South Park because... Mm-hmm. Everybody does. It's just fucking amazing. You can get all of it on Amazon Prime, included in your Prime membership. So get over there. Amazon Prime's getting better.
By the way, I know. I just done a month on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
It's actually all right.
And this absolute gem that I'm holding in my hand is a film called Black Dynamite. Now, this came out literally 10 years ago. 10 years ago, this film came out. And it's a kind of spoof on... blaxploitation movies for the 70s. the main character is a guy called, you guessed it, Black Dynamite. that's his name. It's not even just the action film kind of title. That's the guy's name, Black Dynamite. And he's played by Michael Jai White, who is, by the way, a fucking great martial artist. Wow. He's kind of underrated, I think. But so it's like... I think he's kind of modelled himself a little bit on Jim Kelly from Enter the Dragon, you know, the black guy with the afro.
Yeah.
Like when he's fighting, he makes really similar kind of silly noises. Like,
rawr!
No. He goes, oi!
You were not supposed to win the fight tonight.
it's that cheesy, but it's deliberate. Like there's bits where they're talking to each other, right? It's just like a bit of dialogue going on, and you just see like the boom mic coming in and banging off his afro, and he's like, get the fuck. Right? And sometimes some of the other characters, they actually read out their stage directions.
Is it a bit like Kung Pao meets Kung Fu Hustle?
It's kind of along similar lines, but it's actually way, way funnier.
I'm going to check it out.
The storyline's ridiculous. The jokes are great. The dialogue's awful, but brilliant. But one of my favourite bits is when he bursts into the room, and one of the bad guys comes into frame and goes, Militant turns startled and turns around. It's like, he's just reading out what he's supposed to do.
God.
And there's bits where you can tell that like it's an outtake, but they've left it in because they forgot to edit it out and shit like that. Possibly deliberate outtakes, but it's so good, man. It's such a silly, good fun film about a conspiracy to shrink black guys' willies.
Wow. Oh, imagine that.
so good. I also rewatched Hot Fuzz, which just never gets old. And
classic.
I think you and I have both started watching Don't Fuck with Cats on Netflix, but neither of us have finished it.
Yeah, for documentary reasons, I started watching it. Some guy fucking strangled cats in a bag.
Suffocated.
Online. Aye, I mean strangled, right? Put them in a, like a wee bag, and they all died. And you got some bitch being like, "I want to find this motherfucker." And I suppose they find them. I don't know. I got kind of bored of it. I was just kind of watching it in regards to the filming techniques. But one thing I did watch recently, which was all right, was the King Arthur movie they made with Charlie Hunnam in it and Jude Law and loads of other people in it that are like all cool actors. Aiden Gillen's in it.
That came out a while ago, didn't it?
2017, same year as Downsizing, weirdly enough.
I think you were going to say Down Syndrome.
No, that's been around forever.
I was going to say.
King Arthur was actually, it was all right. At certain points I thought, what are you doing? But yeah, it was no bad. I liked it.
That's what I've heard. I've actually not seen it. I put it on one night and then it started off with like giant elephants. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. And the thing is, sorry?
And I just kind of tuned out after that. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, well, you've it kind of, it brings in fantasy a little bit, and that all goes with the, you know, the sword. The fantasy aspect of it kind of makes the point that the sword's mystical.
Do you think Charlie Hunnam is in a lot of good stuff, but he's a fucking dreadful actor?
I wouldn't say he was dreadful.
I can't think of anything that he's been in that somebody else couldn't have done.
I mean, genuinely. You could say that about a lot of actors.
I don't know, man. Like, there's some things are so iconic, you can go, you know, I couldn't imagine anybody else playing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I suppose his biggest thing was Sons of Anarchy, and he kind of made that his own. When it comes to movies, I've never seen him. I've never seen him shine. Maybe Green Street, but his accent was terrible. It's like he couldn't do a London accent to save himself.
By the way, my wife was watching something recently, Peaky Blinders, and she's on like season 5 or something. She's further ahead than me, so I don't watch it with her. Anyway, I saw a character in it that was playing. He was clearly not Scottish, and he was playing a Scotsman. Why do they always get it wrong? It's like they don't know. See, to really get how a Scottish person speaks, you need to come and spend time with a Scottish person, like around Scottish people. You can't just be like this and expect there's been a murder and expect to know how. Do you know what I mean? Even the words they say, the lingo, even if you get the accent perfectly, the lingo, if you don't speak the lingo, you've failed for the beginning. And this guy's shit right now. The guy that's on the guy that's on Peaky Blinders that's playing the Scotsman is fucking dreadful.
There's only been a couple of people that I actually think have done not a great job, but a good job with it.
Mike Myers.
I am no with him. But Simon Pegg in Star Trek did a pretty decent job. And also another piece of Star Trek alumni, Chris Pine.
I was all right.
It was better than 95%. They may take our lives.
They may never take our freedom.
That is something we shall have to remedy, isn't it? What the fuck are you talking about? It almost sounds Irish for half of it.
Well, did you like Christopher Lambert's Scottish accent in Highlander?
There can't be only one. You look like a woman, you stupid haggis. So, haggis? What is haggis? Sheep's stomach stuffed with meat and barley.
Well, I was having fun until I started speaking to you. God. So, finally on my list of things I've watched that I wanted to discuss was a TV series that I have completely finished, and that is The Mandalorian.
Yes, I started watching the first episode and fell asleep. Not because I wasn't enjoying it. In fact, I texted you when I was watching it, actually praising how fucking beautiful it was, even compared to the cinematic releases. So it wasn't through lack of trying. I think I was just really tired, and I haven't revisited it yet.
Oh man, it's really good. What it does is it gives Star Wars fans a wee bit extra in regards to the Star Wars universe. Not only is it nice to look at, but each episode has a different kind of feel, a different kind of theme. It's like they wrote stories for each different episode, and each different episode, like there's a heist episode, there's a rescue episode, do you know what I mean? There's save the town episode. Every episode has just a bit of a different feel to it. Hats off to Pedro Pascal, who plays the Mandalorian the full season without seeing his face. Yeah, the good thing about that though is you don't see his face because he's wearing a helmet and he shouldn't ever take it off, and he refuses to take it off. But you know, it's like, you know, how do you act through a helmet? And it does a really good job of, you know, the way he speaks, to portray how he feels through how he speaks. And the droids even kind of shine a wee bit of light on that. It's good. Obviously, everybody knows about Baby Yoda. It's a craze right now. Even though it's no Yoda, it's this Baby Yoda isn't actually Yoda. It's some form of Yoda's kind. But no one knows what the fuck Yoda's kind is, because we've only ever seen Yoda and that wee lassie Yoda in Phantom Menace that kind of just sat next to him. Other than that, we don't know anything really about Yoda. So this Baby Yoda's 50 years old and still a baby. So it'd be pretty cool to see what else comes from that. The TV series itself is brilliant. Bill Burr done a good episode with Clancy Brown. Brilliant episode, I enjoyed that. And, you know, I think the second season will be better than the first. It's got that feel that hats off to John Favreau. That's how you say it, Favreau?
Yep, that's how you say it, well done.
He wrote that. He wrote that season. And he's done a fantastic job. You can just tell that he's a real Star Wars fan, because it's obviously been a passion project, and you can feel that.
Yeah, I mean, when I started watching it, I compared the look of it to Blade Runner 2049. When I text you, everyone just felt it felt big, and it looked like it was just like an ice landscape. But I felt like I was there. It was just so realistic looking. Even the big
daft Disney money. Disney money for you, right?
Aye. Even the big daft monster that popped up was kind of cool looking. But I liked the look of it. Actually, reminded me of. I'm so bad for starting to watch things now and not finishing them. I started watching Rogue One ages ago. And it was the first
shout out to Spencer Weldon, who's been on this podcast. Hey, Darth Vader,
big Spen.
Sorry, I interrupted you there.
I started watching that, and I got the same kind of feeling. I think it was a scene I remember with Mads Mikkelsen, and he's just kind of in the middle of. It almost looks like a kind of ashy, kind of surroundings, and it just looked fucking real. Mm-hmm. And I thought that looks good. I may continue watching this one.
Yeah, it's good, really good. Rogue One, again, it's a standalone. It's one of those things you can just watch even if you don't watch Star Wars, and I really like that. Another good thing about The Mandalorian I forgot to mention is the music's really well done as well. The music's very, very nice. It's not John Williams, but they've taken tones of John Williams and created something new with it, and that's what we love, guys. Original ideas.
We do. Even with films with women in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what we want.
We do love women. We do love them.
One thing I watched recently was a rom-com.
Oh, yeah.
Now, rom-coms can be really hit or miss. This one was a fucking hit for me. Like,
oh, man.
It was The Long Shot. It's on Netflix. You've got Charlize Theron, who is eternally fucking beautiful, and Seth Rogen, an unlikely match, but... And the film does a good job of putting those two together, and it's proper laugh out loud funny all the way through it. There's Mark Kermode, the film critic. He judges comedies on the 6 laugh test. So if you laugh 6 times, it's a good comedy.
Damn.
I laughed a horrendous amount of times watching this. It was so funny. I don't even want to talk about it too much. I just want you to watch it.
I'm going to watch The Long Shot.
Yeah, it's laugh out loud funny. I know you'll come back to me. You'll go, yeah, it's all right.
No, because you know what? I'm not a big fan of nowadays comedies. I love stuff like Ernest Goes to Africa, Ernest Scared Stupid, Ernest Goes to Camp. That's the stuff I love, right? But you know, for some time now, I've been like, oh, there's no good comedies. Then I watched two, and I'm sure I've said this on the podcast previously. I watched Blockers, which was John Cena, Cock Blockers, right? Pissed myself at that. And the other one was the Vacation remake. It was not really a remake. It's like a continuation. You know,
reboot remake.
No, even because the main character is the son.
Aye. Character. Yeah.
It's just that bit in it where, so the characters, the son, right? So the dad, who's now Chevy Chase's son, is now the dad in the movie.
Yeah.
And they stop off at a motel, and the son is sitting in the wee jacuzzi on his own, just sitting there with his feet in it. And his dad comes up to him at night, and he walks up and he goes, He goes, hey, son, you know, I saw you checking out that girl. If there's anything that you ever want to talk to me about, you can talk to me. Just ask away. So, okay, Dad, what's a rim job? And Chevy Chase's face is like, oh. Not Chevy Chase, but the Chevy Chase kind of character. And he's like, a rim job is when two people, it's like a kiss. So it's a kiss. Ah, yeah. Anything else you want to know? No. And this whole time, there's a guy walking from the motel right up to the jacuzzi from the background. And as he gets within camera shot, he's getting ready with his towel to get in the jacuzzi. He goes, so, how about giving your dad one more rim job before it's time to hit the bed? And the guy just turns the fuck around and gets hit.
Oh, one more rim job before bedtime.
Jesus. Oh man, just stuff like that. I love stuff like that.
Oh, goddamn.
So, for any other movies that you wanted to bring up before we move on to the finale?
Did I? I don't think so. Did I go to the cinema recently? No, I didn't. Oh, I watched Rambo.
Ah, the new one.
Yeah, I've finally seen that.
Before we even go into that, would you agree with what I said initially, that it doesn't need to be a Rambo movie? It could have just been a Sylvester Stallone movie.
His name could literally be Jimmy McGrory in it. It doesn't really have to be a Rambo film. But would it have pulled in as much at the box office if it wasn't called Rambo?
Hell yeah.
I don't know.
That part where he smashes his hand, the bottom of his knife, on the guy's collarbone and just starts pulling it through the skin. Whoa!
Oh, it's brutal. Like, the thing is, by the way, all the uproar about it being so disgustingly violent and
not bad.
Mate, honestly, Rambo 4 was 10 times worse.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Like 400%. It was 1,000%. It was way, way more violent.
Yeah.
And I think it's just the fucking snowflakes out on patrol again.
Oh man, when are they never? Speaking of snowflakes, shall we get to the creme de la creme of this episode?
Yes, we shall.
So the Golden Globes were hosted by Ricky Gervais for the final and fifth time.
I fucking love G-Mac. Gervais.
Hey, mate. See, when I saw it, I was like, because I've spent many times doing ironing and whatnot, right? And I'll just put on Ricky Gervais's best bits from the previous Golden Globes, right? And watching him, you know, speaking of alcoholics, Mel Gibson. You know what I mean? Not alcoholic racists. Here's Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I just thought, brilliant. But see this, man. Because it's what is his final year. Holy shit, did he not serve every fucking actor and actress and fucking executive at that Golden Globes? Holy shit.
It was the bit where he was like, I said, so nobody wants to hear your political opinions. You guys don't live in the real world, so just come up here, thank your agent, thank your God, and fuck off.
I know. Like, who are you to fucking come up here and criticize anybody? You know, if ISIS made a fucking streaming service, you'd call your agent. Oh man, see, for anybody that hasn't heard this clip, I'm going to play it right now.
Hello and welcome to the 77th Annual Golden Globe Awards, live from the Beverly Hilton Hotel here in Los Angeles. I'm Ricky Gervais, thank you. You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting these awards, so I don't care anymore. I'm joking, I never did. NBC clearly don't care either, fifth time. So, I mean, Kevin Hart was fired from the Oscars because of some offensive tweets. Hello. Lucky for me, the Hollywood Foreign Press can barely speak English, and they've no idea what Twitter is, so I got offered this gig by fax. So let's go out with a bang. Let's have a laugh at your expense, shall we? Remember, they're just jokes. We're all gonna die soon, and there's no sequel. So, yeah. Remember that. But you all look lovely, all dolled up. You came here in your limos. I came here in a limo tonight, and the license plate was made by Felicity Huffman. So, no. Shush. It's her daughter I feel sorry for, okay? That must be the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to her. And her dad was in Wild Hogs. So, lots of big celebrities here tonight. I mean, legends, icons, yeah? Look, at this table alone, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro. But... Baby Yoda. Oh, that's Joe Pesci, sorry. I love you, man. Don't have me whacked. But tonight isn't just about the people in front of the camera. In this room are some of the most important TV and film executives in the world. People from every background, but they all have one thing in common. They're all terrified of Ronan Farrow. He's coming for you. He's coming for you. Look, talking of all you perverts, it was a big year... It was a big year for paedophile movies. Surviving R. Kelly, Leaving Neverland, Two Popes. Shut up. Shut up. I don't care. I don't care. Many talented people of colour were snubbed in major categories. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about that. The Hollywood Foreign Press are all very, very racist. So, fifth time. So... We were going to do an in memoriam this year, but when I saw the list of people that had died, it wasn't diverse enough. It just, no. It was mostly white people. And I thought, nah, not on my watch. So, maybe next year. Let's see what happens. No one cares about movies anymore. No one goes to the cinema. No one really watches network TV. Everyone's watching Netflix. This show should just be me coming out going, well done, Netflix, you win everything. Good night. But no, no, we've got to drag it out for 3 hours. You could binge watch the entire first season of Afterlife instead of watching this show. That's a show about a man who wants to kill himself because his wife dies of cancer. And it's still more fun than this, OK? Spoiler alert, season two is on the way, so in the end, he obviously didn't kill himself. Just like Jeffrey Epstein. Shut up. I know he's your friend, but I don't care. You had to make your own way here in your own plane, didn't you? Right. But seriously, most films are awful, lazy, remakes, sequels. I've heard a rumour that there might be a sequel to Sophie's Choice. I mean, that'd just be Meryl Streep going, well, it's got to be this one then. All the best actors have jumped to Netflix and HBO, you know. And the actors who just do Hollywood movies now do fantasy adventure nonsense. They wear masks and capes and really tight costumes. Their job isn't acting anymore. It's going to the gym twice a day and taking steroids, really. Have we got an award for most ripped junkie? No. No point. We know we'd win that. Martin Scorsese, the greatest living director, made the news for his controversial comments about the Marvel franchise. He said they're not real cinema and they remind him of theme parks. I agree. Although I don't know what he's doing hanging around theme parks. He's not big enough to go on the rides, is he? He's tiny. Right. The Irishman was amazing. It was amazing. That, it was. It was great. Long, but amazing. It wasn't the only epic movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, nearly 3 hours long, Leonardo DiCaprio attended the premiere, and by the end, his date was too old for him. So... Even Prince Andrew's like, come on, Leo, mate, you know. You're nearly 50, son. The world got to see James Corden as a fat pussy. He was also in the movie Cats, but no one saw that. And the reviews, oh, shocking. I saw one that said, this is the worst thing to happen to cats since dogs, right? But Dame Judi Dench defended the film, saying it was the role she was born to play, because she... I can't do this next joke. Because she loves nothing better than plonking herself down on the carpet, lifting her leg and licking her... Furball, furball. She's old school. It's the last time, who cares? Oh. Apple roared into the TV game with a morning show. A superb drama, yeah. A superb drama about the importance of dignity and doing the right thing, made by a company that runs sweatshops in China. So, well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent, wouldn't you? So, if you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So, if you win, right, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God, and... So... It's already 3 hours long. Right, let's do the first award. The first award. The first award is for best actor in a television series, musical or comedy. To present the award are a couple of actors off the telly. What can I say? Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon.
So there you heard that. Holy shit.
So we don't have to sit and repeat them all. You've just heard them, but I particularly like the Felicity Huffman one.
Oh man.
And the James Corden was pretty funny too.
So everybody got to see James Corden as a big fat pussy.
He was also in Cats.
Which no one's seen. And then Helen Mirren, holy shit.
Oh, by the way, I heard that Cats is now getting a bit of a resurgence in the box office. Yeah. Because people are going to see it high. It's like, that seems pretty plausible.
Holy shit. Man, Gervais, like, I love it. It's just, it's one of those, oh, and by the way, how cool was the part, like, you would have just heard there, where he's like, spoiler alert, he doesn't kill himself. As you know, he's in season two, just like Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah, calm down. I know he's your friend.
He just did not give a toss. You can hear it in the clip. He was just like, fuck it. I'm just pulling out all the stops. That's what things like that need, though. When you get the same kind of light comedy at these things quite often with people like kind of Jimmy Fallon. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, but yeah. I mean, they keep bringing him back. So I think they pretend that there's outrage about it, but they keep bringing him back.
Yeah,
there's obviously something in it. Do you know what I mean? And this was the last time, so he was just like, okay, fuck the lot of you. This
is the part where he's just like, guys, no, I don't care. I don't care. I love it. And he always takes the moral high ground, and I suppose he can if there's no dirt on him. Do you know what I mean? And he's like a great years for paedophiles. Speaking of perverts, he's coming for you. Speaking of all you perverts.
Oh, man.
Like, even Prince Andrew was like, hey, man.
Oh, no. Hey, brought in Prince Andrew.
Hey, how uncomfortable did Tom Hanks look?
Yeah, I've not actually watched the whole... Oh, sorry, at that moment, at the at Ricky Gervais... I thought you were talking about him getting his lifetime achievement thing. Tom Hanks, by the way.
Right, well done, Tom.
Oh, yes. But yeah, he was kind of sitting there just like, you know, like Woody watching Buzz taking over the room.
Yeah. What about that guy from Game of Thrones? I think he was in the Pope movie. He was having none it right at the back, drawing him evils.
Oh, Jonathan Pryce, was he?
Yeah. Yo, I was sitting right at the back, like, nah, fuck this prick. Even the head guy of Apple. Sitting there.
Oh, he had a good go at Apple though. Again, we don't need to say it because it's in the clip, but
he's like, about doing the right thing and taking the moral blah blah blah, and then he's like, yeah, and then you work in sweatshops in fucking China. So when you come up to get your award, don't come up here and use this platform to fucking politically bash. Just come up, get your award, and get the fuck. Oh man.
Do you know, he did also make a very good point, kind of right at the beginning, about the fact that Kevin Hart got booted out the Oscars for tweets for years ago. And
ridiculous.
He's just like, hello?
It's all right, none of the foreign press actually speak English.
Oh, mate, the in memoriam bit. Oh, my God. He's like, no enough. Was it too many white people died? So I'm not going to mention any of them.
Oh, man.
Not on my watch. It wasn't diverse enough.
There was a person that he, who was the guy he was referring to being, you know, he says, if you want to work for Marvel, you just need to go to the gym and take steroids. And we all know who'd win that. Who's that? Who was he talking about?
I have no idea.
Yeah, who? And the only people I think, right, who are the...
Chris Hemsworth.
Nah. Really? I don't think he's not massive.
I bet he got big very, very quickly. Allegedly.
Right. Probably wasn't, right. I thought maybe he was referring to The Rock, but I think he has a lot of respect for The Rock, so probably wasn't The Rock, right?
Mm. I mean, The Rock's got that Black Adam film coming up.
I don't know. But it's crazy, right? And I do agree with kind of what Martin Scorsese said about the Marvel movies. They are just, they're like roller coaster rides.
Ah, it's
the theme park.
You know my feeling on them for the most part.
I mean, it's self, so you can't argue with it, and the kids love them.
And also, I'm sorry, just one other big shout out to Joaquin Phoenix for winning his Golden Globe.
Yeah. His
well deserved Golden Globe.
Yeah, it was a good movie. Joker. A good movie.
You know how many times I've heard people tell me when I'm laughing at work or at home that the Joker laughs like me? They actually say that I laugh like the Joker, but sorry, I had that laugh before the Joker came out. Lauren's mum said it. Lauren said it. People at my work have said it.
I don't know, man. You never seem to be in pain when you're laughing. Unless you're going... Can he breathe?
I'm always in pain when I'm laughing, motherfucker.
No, like you're in pain because you're laughing so hard. He's in pain inside. Like you can see in his face, he actually wants to cry, but all he can do is laugh.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can talk about that at length another time.
Of course.
Do you know why? Because one, it's getting late. Two, it's fucking freezing in here, and I can't turn the fire on because it will cut my mic out. I don't know. There's something's going on with the wiring. I need to get this place wired properly. That's the thing. Did we have anything else to cover just before?
So no, we were just going to kind of laugh a bit about Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes, and then that's pretty much us for this week.
That is us then. So, we will be back as soon as we can. Obviously, we do have the side project going on with G Tom Mac at the minute, so the episodes might.
The podcast is the side project.
I know, the podcast has become the side project. So it's not going to be coming out quite as often as they were because we are going to be busy as fuck with this documentary.
We'll try to get them out as possible, as fast as we can, really.
Yeah.
We will have a cool couple episodes coming up soon. There's going to be a few more guests from TV and film coming on to speak to us. Remember, you guys know that this podcast is our podcast. It's your podcast. If you want to get involved, you want to tell us stuff, you want us to kind of cover some stuff, the Jibber Jabber community page exists for that very much reason. So go ahead and look up Facebook. Go on Facebook, write in Jibber Jabber community. You'll see a group. Go ahead and hit join. You can enter our Jibber Jabber community page. Make sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, check us out on Instagram. We do have a YouTube. Some of our videos have 34,000 views, thousands of comments. Some of them have 6 views. It's all down to what you like, because there's a variety of stuff there that you can see at the Jibber Jabber podcast, from adverts that we do for our projects, all the way to our guest interviews with people like the Night King. We've got Jesse Ventura on there. We've got the Stranger Things cast, E.T., loads of cool stuff. Go ahead and check it out. Jibber Jabber Podcast on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, blah, 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 blah. Jib Jab 15. Away you go to Truffle Shuffle. Make sure that you support those guys. And thank you guys for listening. And we will be back next week as always. J-Mac, any notes in closing?
We may be back next week as always.
after this.
Nah, I'm kidding. I'll see you guys next week.
See ya.